Spencer Properties, the number one provider of quality accommodation in Leeds.
Broadcasting 24 hours a day from Leeds University Union.
The sound of students in Leeds.
This is Leeds Student Radio.
Hello and welcome to Leeds Student Radio. This is Wednesday Breakfast with your presenter Jasmine Vincent and
Lizzie Turner.
So it's a lovely Wednesday morning, as always, in Leeds. I'm hoping you noticed a sarcastic note. I'm guessing it's quite hard to be sarcastic on the radio, isn't it? So yeah, and that was First Aid Kit with Stay Gold. It's a lovely song. I managed to get it free on iTunes. I think it still is. So if you like it, go and get it on iTunes for free. You can't complain on a student budget, can you? So next, we have a lovely song coming up with Bipolar Sunshine, All My Love.
In my fantasy, but silly me to think that this could be something forever. Wimbledon and studios forever, rainy weather. My last girl was a singer, I want another singer. But you were like an angel, heaven you're no stranger. To God, but yet to me, no, I think I seen you before. Maybe in my dreams or in my head I wanna hold. You're long as I can hold, but I know I won't be here long. So you can take this song, play it on the road. Use it as a booster, fuck them other bitches. You the one that's in my future. Coochie cardiac, I need some doses, but I'm patient. Maybe cause I'm young, but now these days I'm very blatant. Yes girl, I've been waiting just to tell you that.
Oh, star, you be there in the end, and take me back again. You're the perfect end. All night long, all night long. All night long, all night long. Future looks brighter in your eyes,
your eyes, your eyes.
So if I ever realize, don't play fire in your mind. We go all night long, all night long, and sometimes through the day. My future looks brighter in your eyes. Looks brighter in your eyes,
your eyes, your eyes.
So if I ever realize, don't play the fire in your mind.
Oh, star, you'll be there in the end, and take me back again.
Hello, and you're listening to Wednesday Breakfast on Leeds Student Radio. I'm Jasmine Vincent.
I'm Lizzie Turner.
And so this is our first show. It's a little bit nerve-wracking, isn't it? So we've got a few presenters coming in, and we've got one of our friends, Rebecca, and she's coming in to talk about study abroad, isn't she?
Yep. There's a study abroad fair this Thursday, so we're just going to find out a bit more about what's going on and what's involved in doing a year abroad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking into year abroad, second year, and I'm thinking, yeah, I want to do this. But I believe you've already done it, haven't you, Liz?
I have. I've just come back. I had a year abroad in Italy this past year.
I'm so jealous.
To be honest, still getting used to being back in Leeds. It
must be quite different, very different.
Yeah, I mean the main thing I'm noticing is the weather.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite match the North Italian sun that I'm used to now, sadly.
Well, hey, we're meant to have an October heat wave this weekend.
October heat
wave. I know. This is exciting news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any English person, it's like, yes.
Yeah. I think just the word heat wave.
I know. I think that's what it is. I mean, it may be over-exaggerated, but...
Not something we're used to.
Yeah, heat wave. We're up for it. So, we've got Rebecca coming in. What time is she coming in?
Next 5 minutes.
Next 5 minutes. So, keep tuned to Leeds Student Radio, and you'll get to hear all about the study abroad. We have now got our next song. We have got from... Hosier, from Eden.
Agree, babe.
Welcome back. We now have Rebecca in the studio with her information in the study abroad fair. So Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, yeah. I just thought we could talk about study abroad this morning because it's the study abroad fair tomorrow at the Parkinson Court from 11 till 3. And I know Lizzie and I have just both come back from year abroad, so I thought we could share some of the slightly less glamorous parts of study abroad and warn people about some of the challenges you might face.
Yeah, because people always talk about the good stuff, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, as a second year student myself, I'm interested in doing study abroad, and I heard you went to Belgium, which is quite unusual.
It is, it was. It was just one of those funny ones where I didn't actually get a place for any of the other options I chose, and then the School of Politics rang me up and were like, oh, but no one actually wants to go to Belgium. Do you fancy it? So I thought, well, it's not too far away, a bit different, why not give it a go? So I was in a town called Leuven, which is where Stella Artois is brewed. So huge Stella factory, university, nothing else. So it was a really good year. It was really fun. But I was reading something last night about the challenges that people face on study abroad, and it was all little trivial things like obviously language problems and like walking on cobbled streets and paying their bills and stuff. But what I really want to talk about is the real challenges, the nitty-gritty juicy gossip.
So yeah, I guess both you and Liz can give me a bit of an insight onto study abroad. See if you can, well, I hope you can sway me to go. I'd like to go.
What are your thoughts so far? Where do you have any places in mind?
I so badly want to go to New York. I mean, it's just, I mean, a chance to go to America for like cheaper than any other way, you know, and experience it. I mean, I've got a friend who's gone over New York and he's absolutely loving it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And otherwise, well, I'm a history of art student, so we don't get much options. I think we've got like Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
and that's it.
What if you apply through the university?
That's where I get to like go to New York and stuff. Where it's
anywhere you want, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a broader range.
Yeah. I have to say, without trying to be too biased, Italy is a good one.
I know. Well, the thing is, fine art students get to go to Italy. I'm so annoyed.
Okay. But then there is the language barrier.
There is a language
barrier. Which I very much experienced.
Yeah. So, okay. Are we going to talk about the language barrier? How big of it is it in terms of the difficulty?
Well, yeah. In Belgium, obviously, it's a bilingual country, French and Dutch. So I thought, oh, I'll do a nice French language course in the language centre before I go. And I got there and no one was speaking French. Everyone was speaking Dutch, which was a huge shock because I wasn't aware of that before I left. And yeah, I got in a lot of trouble a lot of the time, just not having a clue what to say, literally just standing there waiting.
No. So that was an issue then? Like,
yeah, it was an issue. I mean, people do speak English in Belgium, obviously, but with great difficulty do they like to share their English. It's like you have to coax it out of them. But it was really good. But I think Lizzie has some more troubling stories.
Yeah,
about
so I guess
language.
Italian.
Yeah, I was very much thrown in at the deep end. I went to uni there and it was Italian, so all Italian lectures, lived with three Italian girls, two of them couldn't speak English, so it was quite stressful. I did some elective modules here, but that was all I'd ever done, so I really didn't feel confident when I got there, and I couldn't really use sentences. Like, I could say individual words, basic stuff, but that was about it. And first night, it's a very strong memory for me. I literally could not speak to my flatmates, and I had to use Google Translate to communicate with them.
Wow. So, like, yeah. Would you suggest doing a full-on course, like full-on like evening course?
I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, because yes. I haven't done any electives in language as of yet. Well, I'll say as of yet, I probably won't be.
Mm-hmm.
But I was considering doing an evening course.
Okay.
So that would be something.
I think you are normally quite well prepared. You'll either go to a country like Belgium or the Netherlands where you do speak English. But if you're going to a country where they speak a foreign language, I think you're normally quite well prepared. It was because I was applying from Classics and it was a bit of an unusual situation.
Oh, but Classics over in Italy, though.
Yeah.
It must have been amazing.
It was a really good place to do it.
So tell about what's the place like, you know, actually going to a different culture, immersing in a different culture. How much of a change is that?
It is a huge change. It's a very exciting one. And even though it was quite scary at first with all the language stuff, I think it's quite an important thing to do because it really forces you to go out and learn the language. Mm. And you have to pick it up quite quickly.
Yeah.
And if you're going on a year abroad, I think you might as well put yourself into it 100% and get as much as you can out of it. So I think it's a good way of doing it. And yeah, Italians, like, what can I say? All the stereotypes are true.
They are true. What about Belgium? I mean, I guess there's a massive stereotypes of Belgium.
No, I was living in an international hall of residence, so all my flatmates were from all over Europe. So I actually came back from Belgium really good at broken English. So I can't speak any Flemish, any Dutch, nothing like that, but I can speak broken English quite well. So I came home and I'd been speaking all year, like, do you like to go out? And I came home and I was speaking to my parents and they were like, you're speaking in broken English, like, stop it. So that was obviously a big difference, but the main cultural differences I think for like Belgium are like, it's less very relaxed, like people just ride their bicycles, have a little rest, have a little beer, have another ride on their bike, like it's so
just a casual beer and bike.
It's so relaxed and it's so chilled and no one seems to be in a hurry, whereas over here I feel like people are really in a hurry to get on with their day. And like on Sundays, everything's closed. I think you said it was the same in Italy. Nothing is open. Like supermarkets, nothing. It's just like a ghost town.
Never try to go to a bank in Italy.
Right.
It could take you several months to be successful in doing that. The opening hours are something like 8:30 to 12 in the morning, only three times a week, and that's it. No afternoons ever.
Right.
No weekends ever. So it's not good.
That's quite interesting.
But you get to know the system and you change yourself to work with the system, and then it's fine. As long as you know.
Yeah, so what's it like coming back then? Do you think you've brought your experience back at all? Like, you know how you said you were quite relaxed and everything, Rebecca? Do you feel like you've come back and you're sort of like, right, I can keep this chill?
Yeah, well, we did a lot more lectures in Belgium than I do here. I get 4 hours a week here, and in Belgium I was doing like 10 hours a week. That doesn't sound like a lot, but for me it is. And and now I'm like quite organized. I like get up and go to uni in the morning like I would if I was in Belgium, and I like set my work, because we did a lot of like take home assignments and stuff, whereas here it's all just like self-assigning. So yeah, you do bring back what you've learned, like how to change the way you study and stuff. But also, yeah, just like really chilled. Like now I'm like really up for just like going for one drink in the evening like with a group of friends and chatting, whereas second and first year I would have been like, oh, let's go out and have a really wild night. But in Belgium there were no clubs, so that wasn't an option. So it's like you just get used to changing your habits. And like
from the sounds of what you're saying, a lot of the European experiences are really similar, so it's quite good if you want a bit of a year out in your third year and just there's work, but it's a slightly more relaxed lifestyle, and it's quite nice to have that bit of a break before you're thrown into final year and it all gets stressful again. So I'd really recommend it for that.
Yeah, definitely, because as well, like, it's a chance to travel. Like with Erasmus, you get the Erasmus grant, which is like 370 euros a month, and you can just obviously you get your student loans as well, so you can just spent that money,
and I don't
traveling.
Know about you, but I wasn't paying tuition fees.
No, neither was I.
Yeah, so the government are literally throwing money at you.
Right.
So all you're paying for, in fact, I don't think anything is coming out of your own money, really. Student loan.
Yeah, student loan.
Grant from the government, which you don't have to pay back. No tuition fees. What's not to love?
I know, yeah. So just like a year off, exploring different cultures and life.
Pretty much.
Sounds quite good.
There is a bit of work.
Yeah, a little bit. At the end of the year.
Exams.
The rest of the year, just...
Now, the key question, obviously, exams and assignments. Now, you both are saying that you had to... Well, broken English for you, Rebecca, but of course, everything was taught in Italian for you, was it?
It was.
What about the assignments, then? Did you have to write in Italian?
I actually didn't have any assignments at all. It's all based on exams in Italy. And
so you had to read Italian?
I had to read Italian, and they're quite interactive classes, so they ask for lots of participation from everyone. The exam system is daunting if you're coming from a UK university. It's just different. Again, it's just something to get used to. All of the exams are oral, so if you're doing maths, if you're doing science, it's all oral. And it is actually in front of the rest of your class.
In Italian?
In Italian.
Wow.
That sounds horrendous.
I don't think I could do that.
It was a challenge, but there's a serious benefit in doing that, which is everyone's allowed to watch everyone else in the class taking their exam. So you can go in with pen and paper, write down what everyone's saying, and that's encouraged.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that happening in Leeds? Going into an exam and just writing down what everyone else is saying if it was an oral exam.
It's a complete plagiarism scare and everything.
Yeah, we had to do oral exams in Belgium as well, but it was in English, and it was one in with the teacher, one out. You couldn't have a sneaky listen to what everyone else was saying.
Yeah.
But it was a real awkward situation when you just don't have a clue and you're sitting there with your professor who's taught you all year, and he asks you an easy question and you're like, pass?
Yeah. But do you know what? I think it's such an important life experience to not have a clue what's going on. To be thrown into an unfamiliar environment and have to make your own way to sort yourself out. Because that is definitely... I'm sure it happened to you right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
You have to sort out your rent, your bills, going to uni, meeting people. There's so much to balance. And I think that is what I've got out of this year abroad the most. More than anything else, just... learning how to cope in unfamiliar situations and...
So, basically life, then?
Pretty much life. Learning how to live.
Right, that sounds absolutely amazing. And thank you, Rebecca, for coming in.
No problem.
So, once again, the studio fair tomorrow.
It's 11 till 3 in the Parkinson Court. I believe it'll be the same setup as it is most years, where there'll be tables four countries, so like America, Australia, Japan. I think Europe has like one long table where all the European unis are on one. Okay. But I'll be there representing Belgium, so if you want to come down and have a chat about KU11, I will be there. Hopefully answer some questions well. But I think it's something you definitely have to do if you're in second year. Even in first year when you're just thinking, like, is it an option for me? Like, if you come along
go
to study
along
abroad fair.
The best way of finding out is speaking to people who've done it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's all very well the lecturer saying, like, oh, it's very good for your CV or this kind of stuff. But speaking to people who've actually done it and they can give you the real information, yeah, that is the way forward. But yeah, couldn't recommend it enough. Definitely best thing I've ever done.
Right, that's fantastic. So I think you've swayed me. Well, not that I needed really swaying, but you know what? This sounds like a good option. And a good option for anyone else who's in second year thinking about this. Definitely go down to the City Boards Fair, see what there is out there, see what unis, what countries, and even what the options are for you. So definitely go have a look. And as you can tell from the two lovely ladies, it's definitely worth a shot.
Definitely.
So thank you very much, Rebecca, for coming
thank
in.
You. No problem.
And now we have another song.
A classic.
A classic, yeah. This is a good oldie. Well, oldie, it's one that we all love. So this is Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac.
The time is 9:30 and here is Olivia with your news.
Good morning. Parks and other public places in London could be made smoke-free zones. The recommendation is made in a report by cancer specialist Lord Darzi, who warns that the capital is facing a public health crisis. President Obama says the world is not doing enough to contain the threat of the Ebola virus. He'll hold a video conference with other world leaders, including David Cameron, later today to discuss how to control the outbreak. It's claimed the amount of alcohol being drunk by people in England is putting an intolerable strain on the NHS. According to the figures from Alcohol Concern, well over 9 million people are drinking more than the government recommends. In football, for the first time in their history, Northern Ireland have won the opening three games of a qualification campaign. They're top of their Euro 2016 qualifying group after beating Greece 2-0. And finally, the weather today in Leeds will be cloudy with scattered showers throughout the day. The time is 9:32 and I'm Olivia.
Thank you very much for that.
The sound of students in Leeds.
This is
Leeds Student Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Wednesday Breakfast. I am Jasmine Vincent and we have...
Lizzie Turner.
Right, so you just heard the news and the weather report. No surprise there with cloud. So we thought we'd bring another bit of a news piece into our show. It's Wednesday, Weird Wednesday. I thought I'd go with that theme. So, we scoured the internet. Whether these are true or not, though, I have to say one of them is from the Daily Mail. I
Everything you read in the Daily Mail is true.
It's completely true, isn't
yeah.
it? So, yeah, we brought up some funny news stories. And, well, this one's definitely quite interesting. So we have Edward Smith, 63. He appeared this morning and told how he was tempted one night to step outside to make love to a neighbour's car. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a man who has had sex with over 700 cars and claims that it all started with his love for a Volkswagen Beetle, which, by the way, is called Vanilla.
Wow.
I know, it's quite interesting, isn't it? And so basically, he has had sex with cars. He's also had a relationship with a helicopter, planes, and bicycles, apparently. And so, of course, you kind of think, how on earth do you have sex with a car? Well, he has told that it's actually a sense of hugging. So, caressing action and...
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's more of an emotional connection,
it's more of
really.
An emotional relationship with a car, yes. I'm pretty sure that we'll soon be hearing in the news soon when he actually gets married. Might have to go to America for that one, though.
Yeah, I can't imagine... I can't really picture anywhere in the UK that would
be happy
with that kind of thing.
Yeah, so he has that. But also, this is the best part of his... Of his little quotation is that he has been in love with his the love of his life is Vanilla since 1982, and despite having another simultaneous relationship with a Ford Ranger, wait for it, called Ginger, Edward said there is no resentment on Vanilla's part.
Well, thank goodness.
I know, thank goodness. At least he can, you know, share his car secretly and everything's fine. There is no relationship issues at all there. So yes, that is one of our interesting pieces of news. And so next, we have a fantastic song again that we thought that to keep it up and going on a Wednesday morning. We have If You Can Change Your Mind.
I'm
And that was If I Could Change Your Mind by Haim. I always think it's Haim. I mean, the spelling and English, it just doesn't add up, does it?
It's confusing.
It's definitely confusing.
I'm a big fan of them, so...
Yeah, well,
I finally learned how to say.
I listen to them a lot, but probably not enough to get their name right. Anyway, so you heard about the man who's had sex with 700 cars.
And we will never forget.
I know. I think that's one of those moments where you sort of think, I cannot unhear what I've just heard.
Yeah.
Yes. So, other stuff surrounding the internet. We recently had Queen Victoria's knickers on sale. Yes, they were auctioned the other day. For a white royal of £6,200. Now, okay, fair enough. Queen Victoria's knickers, they're going to go for big bucks. But her silk bloomers were a massive 52-inch waist.
Oh my goodness.
Now, let that sink in for a moment. 52-inch waist. That's a big lady. Well, we all knew she was a big lady. But that is something else. So, her knee-length knickers went under the hammer along with a pair of Victoria's silk stockings, also sold for £1,100. And these all went on sale, let me get this right, at the Westanger auctions near Folkestone, Kent.
What I want to know is who is going to be interested in buying these.
Well, that's the thing.
And what they're going to do with them.
Well, it's kind of like
they're going to hang them up on their wall.
I know, but imagine you are now the proud owner of it. Queen Victoria, you know, prime queen, the longest reign. She was in charge of the British Empire, everything. You have got to admit, she was an impressive lady. You have got her knickers.
Yeah.
You have got that lady's knickers. I mean, come on. You talk about all these freshers events with guys who are saying, you know, let's do this, guys, and they're lads' night, lads, yeah. Whatever it is, I don't
is
get
that
it.
Is that the ultimate lads?
The ultimate trophy is getting
your first
pulled knickers. But now somewhere over in the country of this wonderful isle, someone owns Queen Victoria's knickers. Not quite for the same reason.
You'd hope not for the same
reason. No, it'd be kind of worrying, but yes, someone has Queen Victoria's knickers and paid only £6,000. A 52-inch waist. That's what I'm impressed by.
That is the definition of disposable income right there.
I know.
Having that kind of money to spend on that.
Wow. Yes. Yes, it's definitely something. So, yeah, on top of all that, Google, we all know about Street View and everything. I'm pretty sure all of us have used it to stalk boyfriends and girlfriends' houses. Crushes and everything. It's always a fun pastime. They have also launched Desert View. Now, I find this quite interesting because they have the canyon view. I mean, that's pretty amazing. 3D, you can walk around the canyon on your laptop. You know, brilliant experience. But desert. Now, if I remember correctly, the desert has only sand in it. And just sand. Maybe the odd camel.
Maybe the odd snake.
That's if the camel picks it up. But this is what we're talking about here. This is a desert view.
Wow.
That they have put loads of money into, and they have actually got, well, talking camels, they actually have a 10-year-old camel called Rufia, who is equipped with Google Street View cameras to create a panoramic shot of the desert. And get this, Google said it's the most authentic way of taking photographs by using a camel.
It's clever, but do you know what? I think if you just go on Google Images and you type in desert, see the same thing.
So,
and it would be far less expensive.
This is a very expensive expedition.
They should have spoken to me before doing this because I could have saved them a significant amount of money.
Why, just showing them, look, this is what we can get on the internet by using your search engine.
Yep. It's all there ready for them.
I know. So they have
invested. I do like the camel idea. That's a nice touch.
I mean, it's nice that they're going all the way to authentic.
Instead of the Google Street car,
the Google Desert Camel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a new role. Any camels looking for jobs? You know where to go.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, that is the end of our funny news stories. We hope that's kept you entertained for midday week. It's not exactly the best day to wake up to, but then again, you're in Leeds, you chose to go here.
Yeah,
it's your fault.
It's your fault.
So, next song, we have Two Fingers by Jake Bugg.
I drink to remember, I smoke to forget. Some things to be proud of, some stuff to regret. Gone down some dark alleys in my own head. Something's changing, changing, changing. I go back to Clifton to see my old friends, the best people I could ever have met. Skin up a fat one, hide from the feds. And something's changing, changing, changing. So I kiss goodbye to every little ounce of pain.
Sound of students in Leeds.
This
is Leeds Student Radio.
And welcome back to Wednesday Breakfast with me, Jasmine Vincent, and
Lizzie Turner.
So yes, we were just talking about all our funny news stories and everything. We have to admit, the man with the 700 cars, well, the man who's had sex with 700 cars, it's definitely quite impressive. So
yeah. Impressive is one word that could be used. I can think of a few others.
I can think of a few others, but I think we'll leave that off air. <We'll>, So, I actually thought I'd share a little story today. Basically, this was quite an interesting thing to come back home to. So, basically, I'm pretty sure like everyone else who's in a house or a flat, you have a Facebook group for your flat, for your house. Probably filled with loads of embarrassing photos, embarrassing stuff, or just random stuff you found off the internet. So, yeah, we have got a few stuff coming off the internet. I've got two housemates that absolutely love Imgur, so constant stuff being posted on there. And I was just coming back from my lectures yesterday around about 4 p.m, and there was a picture of a pigeon put up onto our Facebook group. Yes, a pigeon in our sink. There was a pigeon in our sink, and I was like, wait a minute, why is there a pigeon in the kitchen? We've adopted a pigeon.
Oh, no.
Now, let me get this straight. It's a racing pigeon, so it's okay. It's not one taken off City Square or anything like that. You know, not something we found in the dustbin. It's a racing pigeon. And basically, what my friend had done is got his Tesco delivery, found this pigeon kind of like just sat by our door, our front door, kind of just hanging around there. Not fazed by humans at all. Very tame. Just sort of hanging. And this pigeon kind of didn't really fly away when you tried to stand on him. And the Tesco delivery man goes, oh look, it's got a tag, it's a racing pigeon. You probably want to take him in and report to the RSPCA. So my friend took him in. He has got, well, he's pooped all over
our lounge. Disaster.
So I come home with poop all over the lounge, start to clean this up, find the pigeon in the box, eating seeds. Quite happy, very tame, I have to admit. You can pick him up and he's like, fine. He puffs up his feathers a bit though. You know, I don't think he likes being handled. But yeah, he's currently, at this very moment, sitting in a box.
So you just have a pigeon?
We just have a pigeon. We've named him Pete, by the way. Pete the pigeon.
I like that.
Yeah, so we have
nice
a pigeon.
Ring to it.
But is he not going to fly home? Because don't racing pigeons fly away?
Well, that's the thing. We thought we'd search up and everything. And the idea is if you see kind of a pigeon, racing pigeon, kind of relax and not really flying, then it's probably tired, malnourished, something like that. So the idea is that you take it in for a day and hopefully by then today you can kind of go, fly! And the thing that we did find out, though, is that its tail feathers, it must have been caught by a cat or something. So it probably isn't... Well, probably it's the reason why it's not flying very well.
To be honest, it's probably quite traumatised.
Yeah. Well, he's perfectly happy pecking away at my multigrain bread.
Okay.
So he seems quite happy there.
Well, that's good. At least he's got his
appetite. I hope he doesn't try and fly back here for food. I mean, I don't want another pigeon in the house. I mean, it wasn't quite the kitten I was expecting.
No. I want to know, are there any students who actually have pets?
Yeah,
that'd
well, actually I do.
To know.
I've got a friend, she has brought her dog
wow.
up to uni.
What do the landlords say about this kind of stuff? Do you guys know? Have there...
I don't think you're allowed them in the halls of residence.
No.
Okay.
That's all I know.
Yeah, one of my friends had some gerbils in second year in a little cage in her bedroom, but it stunk. It was disgusting.
My friend has dragons. She's got a dragon up in the attic.
Wow.
Yeah, like lizards, basically. But they are actually called dragons.
So, it's cooler to say you have a dragon, isn't it?
I know, she's got two. And the best part is that they go on her shoulders and she's got a Khaleesi kind of, you know, Game of Thrones, the full outfit.
Wow.
So she gets to sort of walk around the house whenever she likes in this
dragons,
outfit
yeah.
with her white wig, with dragons on her shoulder.
Living the dream.
I know.
The dream, yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's quite the Otley Run fancy dress, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gone all
just
out.
Just in your own room. In your own house.
Yeah, I mean, don't think you really want to take them outside. But yeah,
Probably not. So
we have a pigeon in our house, currently just chilling in the kitchen. And hopefully the RSPCA will be able to come today and fetch it.
Yeah. Do you think you'll be sad when it goes?
You know what? Despite the poo that is all over the floor, I kind of like him.
Yeah.
Grown to like him. It's a pigeon though. Like I said, it's not quite the kitten, it's a pigeon.
Yeah.
Well, last night I was like, we have a pigeon in a kitchen.
Hmm.
I'm eating with a pigeon. This is...
Yeah.
This is just really bizarre.
Yeah, and you don't get the same kind of benefits you get with other birds. You can't teach it to talk like you could with a parrot.
Apparently pigeons are very loyal creatures. They're very kind to humans. They're very sentimental creatures.
Wow.
I know. Never
you know what? I don't think I've ever spoken or heard so much information about pigeons.
I know. Well, it's what we did all last night. Looking after one and, and finding information about it. So yeah, that is the story of my life, ladies and gentlemen. That is what Jasmine Vincent gets up to in her evenings back at home. She
well, now we
pigeons.
All know. We know the true story.
Maybe I should have a song. Feed the birds. It's a bag. There we go. I'm that lady. That's it.
A classic.
That's who I'll grow up to be.
Instead of the cat lady or the pigeon lady.
Yes, I'm the pigeon lady from Mary Poppins.
Next time we speak to you, you'll have 55 pigeons.
Yeah, sitting on the edge of some sort of cathedral or something.
Do you think it's time for a song?
I think it's time for a song.
All right. We're going to put on Time to Pretend by MGMT.
I'm comfort.